Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life, in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. I'd like to thank the Creator for allowing me to be. I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one if you want to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us at Provocative Thought, PT, community organization. Tonight's topic, Kyrie Irving, anti-Semitic? Kyrie Irving retweeted a link to the movie from Hebrews to Negroes. Wake up, black people. And all hell broke out. He is currently scheduled for public humiliation and execution. From Hebrews to Negroes, Wake Up Black People is a book and a movie about the teachings of the Hebrew Israelites of the Torah or the Old Testament, right? Mentioned in the Greek scriptures, which you call the New Testament nowadays. The movie is directed by Donald Dalton Jr., written by Ronald Dalton Jr., produced by Ronald Dalton Jr., edited by Carl Jackson, distributed by Amazon. Okay? Now, from the sportsrush.com, right? It said Shaquille O'Neal's theater shows Kyrie Irving's anti-Semitic, you know, retreat movie, right? I don't know why they're calling it Kyrie Irving, because I just told you who directed the movie, wrote the movie, and produced the movie, right? Who edited and who distributed it. Yet, one writer took it upon themselves to call it Kyrie Irving's anti-Semitic, whatever. Gotta watch stuff like that. The theater is the Cityplex 12 in Newark, New Jersey, and it was the one that showed Hebrews the Negroes, right? The reason why I mention that, because that was 4 years ago. Shaq called Kyrie an idiot for retweeting the very movie he showed in his theater 4 years ago. What's wrong with this picture? Now, first, it is not Kyrie Irving's anti-Semitic movie. The movie or book is directed by Ronald Dalton Jr., written by Ronald Dalton Jr., produced by Ronald Dalton Jr., and edited by Carl Jackson, distributed by Amazon. Okay? And the movie's about 4 years old, so Kyrie just made the tweet, right? Yet, as Corey Holcomb stated, they made Kyrie a villain for a retweet about a movie that Shaq played in his theater 4 years ago. I think Corey had a point there. Malcolm X said, in this country, this is just a quote out of what he was having a... Somebody asked him, was he anti-Semitic? He's saying, how could he be? He said, all Muslims, that would be, all Arabs are Muslims. And that would make he would be, how could he be anti-Semitic? Because he's a Muslim. He was a Muslim. He asked him that, right? So he said, no. He said, but in his statement, he said, in this country, there is one mistake that the Jews make. They put themselves in a position that when anybody gives an objective analysis of the role that they play, they defend themselves by accusing you of being anti-Semitic. Now, that was back in the 60s he said that, right? I thought that was interesting because we have two brothers being accused of being anti-Semitic, right? One who just did a retweet, like, you know, here's where you can look at this movie kind of like thing. Anyway, I found black people and white people stating that the Jews in Israel today are not the Jews they say that they are of the Hebrew Israelites, right? The black Hebrew Israelites say that the African Americans are the Jews or Hebrew Israelites of the Bible. It is not the first time somebody's bloodline or origin has been challenged or revealed. We got this thing called DNA now. You got a show where guys are challenging bloodlines and origins all the time, right? Somebody, not to make light of this, but I mean, it's not the first time that this kind of stuff, this has even been said. It's nothing new.
Are they anti-Semitic? These people who say that? What? Anti-Semite? Dr. Ben Jokan, an African scholar and author of We the Black Jews, states that the real Jews or Hebrews are of African descent. Is he anti-Semitic? Should the black Hebrew Israelites all be apologizing, losing their jobs, or should we be taking a hard look at what they are saying? Is this a taboo topic? Because it's starting to feel that way. What happened to Kyrie's First Amendment right? But he never said anything, just posted a link to the movie. Or from Hebrews to Negroes, right? For that, Nike dropped him from their roster and refused to market his new sneaker because they are offended by the book which was made into a movie, right? That reaction is going to attract more attention to the movie and the book from Hebrews to Negroes. I know. I became very interested and what the author has to say, that someone in high places feels Kyrie Irving should be humbled, humiliated in public, and lose his livelihood. Now, it's a must-watch, must-read situation for me. And then it strikes me, you know, and it's not even a new topic. I heard about this many years ago. Kyrie Irving, an NBA All-Star and member of the Brooklyn Nets, shared a link to the film with his 4.6 million Twitter followers. Kyrie Irving has a right to read or watch anything he wants and to share what he has read or watched with anyone he wants. This is the free world, isn't it? Looks like with all his millions of dollars, Kyrie is still on the plantation. Irving, the article went on to say that he has since issued a public apology and statement addressing the problematic nature of the film and his role in promoting it, promoting the film. Let's see who's promoting the film and what is being promoted or encouraged, right? It appears Amazon Prime and Ronald Dalton Jr. are marketing and promoting interest in this movie and offers some legitimacy indicting all three major religions, not just Judaism. I wonder if the powerful people that are offended are Jews or only Jewish or whatever, right? An Amazon advertisement for the movie says, the movie, Hebrews the Negroes, Wake Up Black America, uncovers the true identity of the children of Israel by proving the true ethnicity of Abraham, Ishmael, Isaac, Jacob, and the sons of Ham, Shem, Japheth, right? Find out what Islam, Judaism, and Christianity has covered up for centuries in regards to the true biblical identity of the so-called Negro. In this movie, packed with tons of research. So this guy just not talking, right? So why isn't Amazon under a brutal attack? Why isn't Shaquille O'Neal under a brutal attack? Maybe he took the knee 4 years ago. Who owns Amazon? From Investopedia, right? Top three individual inside shareholders, right? Amazon's founder and executive chair of Amazon's board, Jeff Bezos. People probably know him. He's the biggest shareholder with 55.5 million shares, representing 11.1% of outstanding shares. Bezos, he was CEO of Amazon since its founding until July 5th, 2021. He stepped down and let Andrew Jazz take over, right? And then we have Jeffrey Blackburn. I don't know what he does. He's one of the top three, right? NewYorkPost.com. Jeff Bezos Network. According to an article in the New York Post, he's worth about $120.3 billion. So, why are the offended individuals or group not demanding that Amazon, who is marketing the film or publicly to the world, apologize, donate a chunk of money, shut down their operations, attend classes in anti-Semitism? The difference seems to be Jeff Bezos, Andrew Jass, and Jeffrey Blackburn work for themselves, answer to no one, and are real bosses. The Amazon circle appears to be greater or more powerful than the circle of the offended individuals. Or is it only extremely offensive when a black man promotes viewing information questioning the true identity of the Jews or Hebrew Israelites? It appears to be, as Nick Cannon was chastised, tarred and feathered in public for his so-called anti-Semitic statement, even though he claims to be of Semitic ancestry himself. I think he's a Semite. How could he be anti-Semitic? So, no. I didn't read that. That's from me remembering reading. I don't know. I hope I got that right. Kyrie is being crucified for basically suggesting that people watch the movie From Hebrews to Negroes, Wake Up Black People. All he did was tweet. Check this link out. Because it sparked his interest and some questions. Right? Looks like someone doesn't want Kyrie or others to search for their ancestors' origins or peoples. MSM.com. Next want Kyrie Irving to verbally apologize over anti-Semitic controversy. So he already issued a public statement apology for promoting the film, right? But that's not enough for him to be turned to the Brooklyn Nets because they suspended him, I think, what, 5 games or something? According to Vincent Goodwill of Yahoo Sports, among the conditions of his reinstatement, Irving must meet with the media and issue a verbal apology for his mistake. Not only must he say sorry for promoting the film, but he should also emphasize that the movie is harmful and untrue. Remember that? Harmful and untrue, right? Kyrie made a statement. Now, what's the boy name? Kanye West made a statement about music being promoted that's harmful and untrue about black people, but it has a negative effect on the black community. Anyway, so question is, how does Kyrie qualify to determine that everything in the movie or the book or even the theme is true or false? Kyrie can either accept the information or reject it or do his own research, right? He got enough money to do it. To say that it is not true would make Kyrie a puppet, mannequin, or slave for the offended individuals and associates. Another black man humble in public for his opinion that is contrary to the powerful one. The only people who might need to prove that the movie or book is not true or valid are the people who are offended. I wonder if many Jewish individuals are offended. And just, you know, like most, many, few, some people probably never heard of this situation. I don't know. From news, yahoo.com. Nick Cannon speaks to the ADL, defends the Kyrie Irving, and compares anti-Semitic documentary controversy to buck breaking. No. We get into what buck breaking, which just says you don't know what it is. That's the slave stuff, right? So the film is based on the book, suggests that many famous high-ranking Jews have admitted to worshiping Satan and Lucifer. in 2020, Cannon was fired from his television show, Wildin' Out. I heard he created that after comments he made on his podcast, Cannon's Class, right? I think he was on it with Professor Griff. According to NPR, since the deleted episode, Cannon stated that Jews were responsible for the majority of wickedness that goes on across the globe. Cannon later apologized on Facebook. Cannon compared the immense pressure and speculation of the situation to buck breaking, he said. Slave owners are raped, sodomized, rebellious slaves, humiliate them usually in front of their wives and children, thus breaking the spirit of the slave. That's buck breaking, right? Basically, they took this man's manhood in front of everybody because he stood up. Anyway, from anxious.com, right? Adam Silver stopped short of leaving a suspension or handing down a more serious punishment for the Brooklyn Nets star. This is for a tweet, y'all. Say, y'all, check this out. Al Sharpton stated, y'all know him, right? Supposed to be, they call him a gatekeeper. He stated the Nets punishment for Kyrie Irving is justified. Stephen A. Smith stated they are trying to emasculate Kyrie Irving. Shaq called Kyrie an idiot. I heard Sir Charles Barkley follow suit with the idiot thing. Adam Silver, NBA commissioner, wants unqualified apology from Kyrie Irving for sharing anti-Semitic film. Unqualified apology is a spontaneous with no preconceived notion. It has no related expectation. It is said to express a genuine feeling of regret. It is a contradiction. This is from provocative story. It is a contradiction to act, require, force, or demand an unqualified apology simply because the apology isn't said to express a genuine feeling. So the purpose of the apology is to break the spirit of the alleged transgressor and publicly humble him and those who would dare to follow his footsteps. In short, say, my name is Toby. That's what that is. So, and you know, people don't always get it 100% right when they read material and things like that. And things may not be like Christopher Columbus didn't discover America. How long have we been teaching that? He thought the earth was flat. He didn't think the earth was flat. Do you think that somebody would give him 3 ships to sail over the edge of the earth? That doesn't even make sense. Anyway, dictionary says justify as having done for or marked by a good or legitimate reason, declared or made righteous in the sight of God. Well, is Kyrie the sacrificial lamb, scapegoat, or another example? If there is a good or legitimate reason or it is righteous in the sight of God, why aren't Bezos, Jazz, Blackburn, or Amazon targets of rage and anti-Semitic persecution? It is extremely selective. That is an indication that it is not justified. It is extremely controlling and indoctrinating. It makes you wonder if slavery has taken on a new form. Could it be that Bezos, Jazz, and Blackburn are all-powerful white men? There are no offended parties after so much as an apology from these guys. Yet, the offending film book continues to be available on Amazon Prime. Kyrie Irving's success appears to be dependent upon the very individuals who are offended. In many ways, Irving is not a free man. His livelihood is threatened because of what he chooses to watch and encourage others to watch. Really? Just because Irving said, check this out, y'all, to over 4 million people, did they forget about the part of the book, the film of the book, that states that black people are the so-called Jews or Hebrew Israelites of the scriptures? I find it hard to fathom why anyone would assume the identity of the chosen people of the Creator. Wouldn't the Creator know the identity of the people that he has chosen? So I'm just saying that because it must be a little deeper, because these people are just saying they're not the chosen people, right? But they believe it. They must believe that. So, and that's why they're taking it so hard. And I get that. But I think they need to dig a little deeper into these scriptures. See what's going on. What do the scriptures say, right? We're going to get into a little bit of that during the show, maybe. I don't know if I have enough time. But Amazon is saying, check out From Hebrews to Negroes, Wake Up Black America to a Much Larger Demographic, The World. Right? Questioning the identity of those who say that they are Jews is not a novel idea. Saying that, this is old. It's old. It's older than my father. The solution is to prove that you are who you say that you are. Agree to disagree or admit that you are not who you say that you are. Punishing people for encouraging other people to watch the film looks suspicious. Labeling it anti-Semitic just compounds the assault and injury. From Forbes, Kyrie Irving, anti-Semitism controversy. Nike's the latest to drop them. Now, they just say they dropped them from a sneaker deal. I guess he's going to make a whole bunch of money, right? After the Brooklyn Nets suspended Irving over this year, tweet. Now he's out of a lucrative deal with Nike too. The world, Jewish world domination is the latest conspiracy touted by Kyrie Irving. I thought it was touted by Ronald or whatever the guy's name is. But how did Kyrie Irving get the hit? I don't get it. He didn't write nothing. He didn't produce nothing. He just tweeted. He tweeted it. Key fact, Irving tweeted a link last Thursday. They're even saying he just tweeted a link. Hebrews and Negroes, Wake Up Black America, would perpetuate harmful tropes about Jews, including Satan worship and plot for world domination, and refuse to apologize at an explosive Saturday press conference. Pay close attention to it, which perpetuates harmful tropes about Jews. Something like that trap music we listen to, unfortunately, we have to hear every day, right? Coming through whatever way these guys are playing it, right? Very interesting. Anyway, the controversy seemed de-escalated when Irving said he'd take responsibility for the harm he caused by the post, but reignited when he refused to say he wasn't anti-Semitic. An explosive afternoon press conference deflected blame, saying he did not produce the documentary. He didn't. That's not deflection. That's a fact. That's the truth. He didn't produce it. Right? The Nets suspended Irving without pay for at least 5 games. Basically said for failure to disavow anti-Semitism, right? Woo! When given a clear opportunity to do so, is deeply disturbing against the values of our organization and constitutes conduct detrimental to the team. Tweeting, check this out, y'all. Okay? So that's pretty vague interpretation of conduct. Did it specifically say you can't tweet something that you read for people to take a look at it? Shortly after the suspension, Irving issued his first unequivocal apology, right, on Instagram. He said the film contained some false and anti-Semitic statements, narratives, and language that were untrue and offensive to the Jewish race, religion, and I take full accountability and responsibility for my actions, right? Despite his contribution, the ideas promoted by Irving continue to fall upon more eyes and ears. Sales for the book by the same name of the problematic film soared, right? And Hebrews, the Negroes Wake Up, Black America is among the most listened to audio books of the across numerous platforms. That's right. because I just listened to it just because of this. Even though some of the information I already heard a long time ago, this guy got some DNA stuff. He coming from some other place. Anyway, I got to listen to it again because I'm going to admit I didn't know it was that long. And a brother was tired. So I got to go back and listen to it earlier in the day because we just listened to it at night. Anyway, Nike cut ties with him, right? We believe there's no place for hate speech and we condemn any form of anti-Semitism. So they keep saying, running this worry, and he's saying, oh, he's against us. He's against us. He's against us. You know, so they treating, so they're basically saying this guy's work, body of work is nothing but trash. He's just being evil. And I don't know what else to say. I don't know if he said the Jews are evil or what, you know. You got to be careful when you say things like that. Me and my friend had this conversation about we talk about when we say, yeah, black people this, black people that, we don't mean every black person. He said, yeah, that's right. We don't mean that. He said, we just, you know. So, you know, so maybe we need to watch the way that we, the words we're using when we're talking about, if there are people who are Jews, you need to just go ahead and say that than to say the Jews, like all the Jews is about it, because it doesn't really mean that. But it's literally saying that. So, you know, if these guys are Jewish guys who are doing things, are they doing it because they're Jewish, or are they Jewish guys who are doing things? You know what I'm saying? So is everybody in on the gag? You know what I'm saying? You know, Irvin is no stranger to missing time on the court due to controversy, missing more than half of the Nets games last season over his refusal to receive the COVID-19 vaccine, a self-proclaimed free thinker. Irvin broke no laws. He exercised his right as a human being and a citizen of this country. And I don't know why you call him a free thinker. I just call that a thinker. Because anybody else's sheep is just doing that. Anybody else's sheep is just going, have information in front of them and not paying it any attention, right? Surprising fact, Irvin and Nets each pledged to donate $500,000 to the Anti-Defamation League, right? That's the ADL that boy was, what's his name? Was talking to. Nick was talking to, right? But the organization said it would not accept Irvin's donation after he declined to denounce anti-Semitism, right? At the press conference, right? They declined his money. So they want the man to say decline anti-Semitism as if he's trying to be anti-Semitic. He already said he's not anti-Semite. So you're trying to get the man to go against what he knows about himself. So, you know, even if the movie had some anti-Semitism in it, you can't call him an anti-Semitist because it has a lot of other things in it. So it's not, you know, it talked about the origin of the Hebrew Israelites a lot in there. So if that part of the him being anti-Semite, if he believes that African people of African descent are the original Hebrews, the people who the Bible, you know, so I'm trying to figure that out, or just the bad things they said that they were doing. I don't know. And they said, I say that the article goes on and said they fired the head coach, Steve Nash. I don't know why they did that. But I'm sure he's a millionaire and he's okay. Anyway, there's a precedent for the NBA taking action against players spewing anti-Semitic rhetoric as it fined Miami Heat center Myers Leonard $50,000, suspending him for a week after he said an anti-Semitic slur online last March. The league fined Kobe Bryant $100,000 in 2011 and Anthony Edwards $40,000 this year for using anti-gay slurs. The league has forcibly punished owners found to use racial language, forcing Donald Sterling to sell the Los Angeles Clippers in 2014 and suspended Phoenix Suns owner Robert Sarver for a year in September after the two owners used the N-word on several occasions. The griot. Kyrie Irving was wrong, but he doesn't deserve to lose his career. This is from Sophia Nelson. She said he was wrong. I'm just wondering, how is he wrong about tweeting? That's his personal tweet, and he's saying, check this out. Right? And there is, there's a lot of information on that movie that that you might want to check out. Don't let the fact that somebody's saying you're anti-Semite or anti-Semitic, or if you look at that movie, because you might as well not look at no movie, because a lot of movies are degrading to people, and we know that. A lot of things that people have said that's very degrading to people still out there. But this isn't just somebody talking. This is somebody who's done a lot of work, and they can use the scriptures to back up what they're saying. Right? So hopefully I might get a chance to go into some of the stuff in the scriptures of why Kyrie Irving and other black people go on this search to see who the Hebrew Israelites are and how that relates to them, because that's Kyrie Irving's theme, not this anti-Semitic thing. That's the move they're trying to use to shut him down, because the man's obviously does not hate people because they are Jewish or say that they're Jewish. Even if you are not the real Jews, he's not hating you. It's not coming from there. That said, lady says, I want to state equally emphatically that I do not agree with the Brooklyn Nets decision to suspend indefinitely cancel NBA star player Kyrie Irving. The team issued a statement that read in part, such failure to disavow anti-Semitism when given a clear opportunity to do so is deeply disturbing, is against the values of our organization, constitutes conduct detrimental to the team. Detrimental to the team. Okay, we'll see how detrimental that is without Kyrie Irving on the floor. Because what's detrimental to the team is that guy not handling that basketball. That's what's detrimental to that team. Can't change what's in the man's heart. And I'm not saying what's in Kyrie Irving's heart, but you don't know what's in the heart of all the players there. So you don't, and you don't know who's anti what. You don't know, it might be somebody on the team that hates Jews, hate black people. You don't know. Anyway, how is it? How is someone unfit to play basketball because they express a viewpoint or shared a link for a movie based on a best-selling book, Hebrews the Negro? That's a best-selling book. So if that's a best-selling book, wouldn't that make a lot of people in the United States anti-Semites based on the theory that, you know, this man tweeted it, these people are buying it. What's the difference? Tweet buy, the same thing. Tweet buy, because you think they're going to buy that book and not talk about it with somebody else? If you do, you must have been shot in the head. You're brain dead. How is someone unfit to play basketball because they express that viewpoint? I don't know. Inquiring minds want to know, because somebody says you are. How about that? And they have the power to say that you are. How about that? Anyway, it says, the book is number one best-selling book in religion and spirituality category on Amazon right now in light of the drama surrounding Kyrie. Did nothing wrong but refused to back down from the bullies who demanded that he denounce, did cry, and apologize for his learned experience. Correct. Right. After removing him from the team indefinitely, the Nets reportedly want him to meet with Jewish leaders so that they can inform and educate him on what he did and caused them pain. what he did that caused them pain. All he did was share a link. And she said, I don't understand how this is what we do in America in the 21st century. People believe all kinds of crazy, inappropriate, and wrong things. Kyrie has always been a wild card, she said. I don't know what that's supposed to mean. Because he didn't have to get a vaccine, and he wasn't the only person that didn't get a vaccine. And there were people in the medical field that didn't get that vaccine. So I don't know what the wild card better not be coming from that anti-COVID vaccine thing. Anyway, he's an anti-vaxxer who missed most of his home games because he wouldn't comply with the New York. So he didn't want to put a experimental drug in his body. So that makes him a wild card. It's, they may, other people may look at you being a wild card by putting this experimental drug in your body. All right? They have no long-term studies on that vaccine. He wouldn't comply with the New York City's vaccine mandate, and he once questioned whether the earth was flat. I heard about that flat thing. Flat earth thing. Me and Pete was talking about that. Anyway, so from provocative folks, Kyrie Irving has the right to refuse the experimental vaccine, number one. Let's get that out the way. That does not make him a wild card. It makes him an independent thinker or a thinker, period. Not sheepish. Not fearish. Many receive the vaccine in fear of losing their jobs as Biden threatened, your president in the so-called free world threatened. Now I hear many are getting their jobs back and payment for forced time out of work due to their illegal firing because they refused to take the jab. From the Washington Times, a New York court orders rehiring back pay for fired unvaccinated workers. The court cited evidence that the shot does not thwart transmission within the workplace. Being vaccinated does not prevent an individual from contracting and transmitting COVID-19. The decision by Judge Ralph J. Porzio said. All right, so Kyrie was a thinker. Back to the griot. Irving did ultimately issue an apology to his personal Instagram account after the team announced it was suspending him for at least 5 games. That's where the 4 million people is at, right? While doing research on Yahweh, I posted a documentary that contained some false anti-Semitic statements, narratives, and language that were untrue and offensive to the Jewish race and religion, Irving wrote. I take full accountability and responsibility for my actions. I am grateful to have a big platform to share knowledge, and I want to move forward by having an open dialogue to learn more and grow from this. Now, that's a lot right there, because sharing knowledge is what Kyrie Irving was doing in the first place, but he is being crucified for it because someone is offended by the knowledge that he shared. Feelings and biased opinion have no place in academia or science. Right? Back to the griot. That too was not enough. Worse, as if we were at a place in 2022 where a black man in America cannot share a link to a movie on Amazon Prime, which allows the controversial film on its platform. We are no longer in America. Maybe we haven't been in America for a long time. I mean, for black folks, I guess we were never in America. We're going to go ahead. Does it make more sense for people to be upset with those who put such anti-Semitism in the marketplace? People like multi-billionaire Jeff Bezos, who owns Amazon. Why are they upset with him? He got that much money, you can't be upset with him. If Jewish people are offended, she said, they have every right to be. Then they should protest Amazon or protest the author who wrote the book in question. Something is away when we go after a star NBA player who happens to be black. When Tucker Carlson, Donald Trump, and sitting member of Congress like Marjorie Taylor Greene, Republican of Georgia, and others have said the most disgusting, offensive, and anti-Semitic things. Oh, wait, she said. I know what it is. Racism. racism against a black man who dares to think for himself, question for himself, or explore different points of view. She said it. I didn't say it. This is Lay saying, right? It's a movie based on a book, folks. It's meant for people to see it, discuss it, and share it in their circle. This seems to me, at least, to intentionally target black men with controversial views or opinions. In this case of Urban, he didn't even say anything. It's just a tweet from provocative sort. That's a point well taken. Why aren't the offended persons canceling or attempting to cancel Jeff Bezos or Amazon or the author of the book? Why aren't they demanding an apology from Jeff Bezos or the author of the book from Hebrews to Negroes? We cannot forget about those white media, and we can forget about those white media and political figures. Ain't nothing going to happen to them. Nothing happened and nothing will happen. Does this mean Kanye West, does this make Kanye West's point about powerful Jewish peoples? I remember West pointing out how powerful Jewish individuals in the music industry profit from music that degrades black people and promotes violence, sex, and drugs in the black community. Kanye attributed it all to Jewish people, which is not true. I'm guessing there are some people in the industry who are Jewish who profit from perpetuating music that is offensive to black people because it promotes negative stereotypes, right? And is degrading black people. No one is apologizing for that, and it has proven to be extremely lethal. Back to the griot, this lady's, what she was saying. I understand why Kanye was all canceled, she said. He unabashedly trafficked the anti-Semitism and was defiant that Adidas would dare not cut him loose. They did. He found out the hard way, $2 billion too late, that he was wrong. His free speech cost him billions and most likely damaged his brand forever. Here's my point. Two black men in the past have been ruined by allegations of anti-Semitism. Yet another example of how strong and defiant black voices are silenced. Both Kanye and Kyrie were anti-vaxxers, controversial, and said off-putting things for years that gave many of us heartburn. My question is, where's the line? Why are only they being ruined or dragged out in public square for isolation when they offered one group over another? When they offend one group over another, right? So why are they the only ones being dragged out in the town square and wit, right? You said, that is the question that we must grapple with and answer. Otherwise, we are putting a chilling effect on free thought and speech of black people, while others who are not black profit from and are unbothered by doing the same or worse, right? That's Sophia Nelson, a contributing editor from the Griot, right? I thought that was an excellent article. And it was pretty objective, you know, things like that. But so I started thinking, which I don't get paid to do. Like, everybody gets paid to think. You got a job, you're getting paid to think. I'm just joking right there. Anyway, fact is, some people do not believe that the Caucasians or non-melanated Jews in Israel are the same as the Hebrew Israelite in the Torah, the Old Testament, or the Greek scriptures, or you call them the New Testament now, right? So I said, let's check the Bible out. What does the book have to say? Because I heard them dudes always saying that. They be opening up the book, the Hebrew Israelite brothers. They open up the book on you and you know, they back up what they're saying. Then they have this argument about interpretation and things like that. You know, well, it's over 2,000 years old, and, you know, things change, right? We know that, right? But let's go see what it says. King James Bible, Revelation 2:9. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say that they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Revelation 3:9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say that they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee, right? The Old Testament is really God's plan for the coming Messiah and his use of the nation of Israel to complete that plan. The tribes were essential to everything God did because they made up the notion of the nation of Israel. They were also important because that is how you were identified with the nation of Israel, right? Now, that is scary if you are an evil imposter, even more if you don't know that you are an evil imposter, right? So I went to Britannica and I just wanted to say, who are the Jews, right? So, well, they have these people called the Sephardi, right? Spelled Sephardi. Also spelled S-E-F-A-R-D-I, like it sounds, right? And they're from Spain, members of descendants of the Jews who lived in Spain and Portugal, at least the later centuries of the Roman Empire, until their persecution and mass expulsion from those countries, right? In the last decades of the 15th century, right? Sephardi fled from North Africa and fled to North Africa. They fled to North Africa from Spain and Portugal. They fled to North Africa and other parts of the Ottoman Empire. And many of these eventually settled in such countries as France, Holland, England, Italy, Balkans, Thessalonica, and Macedonia. I know I butchered that last one for sure. Anyway. The city of Amsterdam became major sites for the Sephardic settlement, right? AllTheDifference.com said there have been two significant categories of Jewish people for the last 1,000 years, Ashkenazi, Sephardi, and the Hasidic Jews, who are Jews are a further subclass of the Ashkenazi, right? It's another one other than that, but anyway, we'll get back to it. I'll come back across and say the main difference between the Ashkenazi and the Sephardic Jew is the Ashkenazi today are Yiddish-speaking Jews and descendants of Yiddish-speaking Jews. They're primarily inhabitants of Germany and northern France. The Sephardim are descendants of Iberia and the Arab world. Sephardim originated from the Hebrew word Sephard, which means Spain. So the Sephardic Jews are mainly those settled in Spain, Portugal, North Africa, and the Middle East, right? The Hasidic Jews, on the other hand, are the subculture of the Ashkenazi. They adhere to an insular form of Judaism that evolved in Eastern Europe in the mid-18th century, right? Their form of Judaism evolved in Eastern Europe in the mid-18th century, all right? Now, Jesus, that's hundreds of years, thousands of years, hundreds of years before Jesus, right? After Jesus, I mean. So, anyway, the Messiah, the Mizrahi Jew, means Hebrew plural, Mizrahim, ethnic group of the East, also called the original Jew, members of descendants of the approximately 1.5 million Jews who lived in North Africa and the Middle East up until the mid-20th century and whose ancestors did not previously reside in Europe. All right, so the Mizrahi Jew is saying that these people are from Africa, North Africa, right? The Creator promised 12 tribes, right? promises the 12 tribes, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Zebulun, Asher, Issachar, Dan, Gad, Asher, Naphtali, Joseph, Benjamin, right? I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make you, your name, great, and you will be a blessing. Genesis 12:2. Bible study tools say the Old Testament is really God's plan for the coming of the Messiah. The tribes were essential to everything God did because they made up the nation of Israel. They were also important because that is how you were identified within the nation of Israel. The question brought to my attention is, when did the Sephardic, Ashkenazi, and Mizrahi Jews suffer the curses of Deuteronomy 28? Right now, that's a whole lot of stuff. I'm just going to go. It said, thou shalt group a new team at noonday as a blind groupeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy way. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build an house, and thou shalt not dwell in it. Thou shalt plant a vineyard. Thou shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Thou shalt be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. No, thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from thee before thy face. Thy sons and daughters shall be given unto another people. Thy fruit of the land and thy labor shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up. Thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king which thou shalt set over thee into a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known. And there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. And thou shalt become an astonishment, proverb, and a byword among nations, right? And thou shalt be a sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. And he, moreover, these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed, because thou hearken not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. This was disobedience, right? They shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder and upon thy seed forever, they said, right? Therefore thou shalt serve thy enemies which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of things. And he shall put a yoke of iron around thy neck until he have destroyed thee. And Lord shall bring a nation against thee from afar, from the earth, from the far, from the earth, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flyer, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of old, nor shew favor to the young, right? He shall besiege thee in thy gates until thy high and no fence walls come down when thou trustest thou throughout all thy land, and he shall besiege thee in all thy gates throughout all thy land which the Lord thy God has given thee, right? And let me go. I'm just going to skip this because there's so much. 68, right? Says Deuteronomy 68 says, and the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships by the way whereof I spoke unto thee. Thou shalt see it no more again. And there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. Right? So that's one of the arguments they have, because that sounds like the, North Atlantic slave trade, right? And slavery in America of the black people, right? So still, what's wrong with this movie? Extremes, terms, right? From extremism terms, right? Says among the film's claims, it claims that black people are now finding out that they are the real lost children of Israel. Sephardic, Ashkenazi, and Mizrahi Jews in Israel are just religious converts with no biblical blood connection to the ancient 12 tribes. I guess the argument is they're claiming to have a blood connection to the 12 tribes of Israel. So that's the argument. The Sephardic Ashkenazi Jews falsely claim that they are from the 12 tribes of Judah, Benjamin, and Levi. Why did they decide to steal the identity of the real black Israelites that they sold into slavery? The children of Israel got their brown skin complexion, something we don't see with people who come from Israel in 1948 and call themselves Jews, right? They're saying basically Israel is a melanated people, right? The seed of Edom, the seed of Cain, the synagogue of Satan, and Lucifer himself are the major confederate that has been against us for a very long time, they said. In the schools, we are never taught about the Jewish slave ships that brought our West African Negro Bantus ancestors to slave ports owned by Jewish Newport World Center of Slave Commerce off the east coast of North America. The Jews have established five major falsehoods, right? The Jews are the Israelites and thus God's chosen people. Jesus Christ was a Jew. That 6 million Jews were killed in the Holocaust during World War II. That all races are equal and that all are brothers, I guess, and sisters. That Jews are just another religious group, right? Statement falsely attributed to Adolf Hitler. The Americans planning on moving these false white Jews into a state of Israel because the white Jew knows that the Negroes are the real children of Israel, and to keep America's secret, the Jews will blackmail America. They will extort America. Their plan for world domination won't work if the Negroes know who they are. I guess that's the world domination. I don't understand how the Jews are going to dominate the world. They don't have no army. Because I think United States and Russia, China, India, U.S. and Russia had the most deadliest army. China has another large army. I think they can't even arm everybody in their army. Israel gets support from the United States every year. Anyway, I can see where from provocative, Caucasian or European Jew would be very concerned about someone claiming to have proof that he is an imposter, a convert to the practices of the true black Hebrew Israelite. Though there is nothing wrong with being a convert to the will of the Creator. There's nothing wrong with that. Even if, you know, I don't see the problem. If you are a convert, what's the problem? Are you doing the right things? You know, if you're not doing the right things, then that's something different. But you can't blame the actions of a few Jews on all people who are Jewish. You know, that's the only thing. I don't know if you guys are doing that or not, but you can't can't do that. You know what I'm saying? Just like the United States was in Vietnam, but there were people here with protests, just like Russia. Russians are protesting at this minute the war, the invasion of Ukraine, right? So if anybody ain't with that, and as my friend says, we should keep that in mind. We don't mean every single body. But you have to be talking about the people that have power to do these things, right? And on some of these situations. Anyway, though there is nothing wrong with being a convert to the will of the Creator, right? Why is it that Kyrie Irving must be tarred and feathered for sharing or encouraging others to watch the movie From Hebrews to Negroes? Did he break a law? No. Is it in his contract that he cannot read or encourage anyone to read or watch anything that may be perceived as offensive to anyone? Maybe particularly people in the Jewish community? How is he going to know that? You know, how is part of it is offensive to them? Or that don't make sense. This is the United States. It may be offensive to you, but it's not offensive to him. Is it offensive to think that the people of the Bible are black, particularly the Hebrew Israelites? Is that offensive? Do these Jewish guys have a problem with, oh, they're black and I'm not black, so I can't be who I say that I am? Is that the problem here? Like, what's the problem? Just put your heads together and see what you come up with. You know, I just thought, it's funny. On the street, if you offend someone, you can lose your life. But in Kyrie Irving's world, you can lose your livelihood and be humbled like a bad dog. From Hebrew Connect TV, Rabbi Messer's video has gone viral, and a number of times teaching that blacks in the USA are descendants of the ancient Israelites. I don't know if that was a brother or not. I've seen it. They had a picture of him. So I thought, what is a Semite? Dictionary, a member of any people who speak or spoke Semitic language, including in particular the Jews and the Arabs, right? Webster, a member of many peoples of ancient Southwestern Asia, including the Arcadians, Phoenicians, Hebrews, and the Arabs. Online etymology. Semite, noun, 1847. A Jew, Arab, Assyrian, or Armenian. And apparently isolated use for from 1797 refers to the Semitic language group. Back formation from Semitic or else from French Semite, 1845, from modern Latin Semita, from late Latin Sem, from the Greek Sem, meaning Shem, one of the three sons of Noah. Britannica, Semite, says, from Britannica, says Semite is a name given in the 19th century to a member of any people who speak one of the Semitic languages, a family of. The term therefore came to include Arabs, Arcadians, Canaanites, Hebrews, some Ethiopians, including Amhara of Tigranians and Armenian tribes, right? Because Semite-speaking people do not share any traits aside from language, use the term Semite refers to the broad range of Semitic-speaking people has fallen out of favor, right? By 2500 BCE, Semitic-speaking peoples have become widely dispersed throughout Western Asia. In Phoenicia, they became seafarers. Mesopotamia, they blended with the civilization in summer. So my question is, how does a 19th century name apply to a people over 2,000 years ago? If the name was given in the 19th century, the question is, what the Hebrew Israelites of the Bible call themselves? The second question is, could the Hebrew Israelites be melanated peoples? So this is what's really sparking this this search. As you know, melanin is a pigment produced by special cells called melanocytes. It's best known for giving skin color and is responsible for the darkest of all the way to the lightest skin tones. This also gives you your eye color and is found in the brain, inner ear, hair, lips, too. Just as interesting, it both initiates and wholly determines how our skin tans as a result of sunlight, right? So absorbs sunlight, UV radiation, dissipates UVA and UVB radiation. Melanin determines skin, eye, lips, and hair colors. I just said, right? The melanin at the front and back of the iris, right? It's going to determine the color of your eyes and stuff like that. The more dark your eyes, the more melanin you have, right? So very low levels of melanin called pink red eye colors, right? Melanocytes in the inner ear stimulates receptors for hearing and maintaining balance. Explains why albinism, which is a condition causing very low levels of pigmentation, often also comes with hearing problems ranging from partial to complete hearing impairment. Melanin is produced in the hair root, right? I said, too little brown, let's say two little brown leads to blonde hair, right? Hair follicles colored by black. I can't even pronounce that word, melanin. EU melanin create black hair and very dark brown hair, right? Too little of EU melanin leads to blonde hair and stuff like that. So the less melanin you have, the lighter the color of your eyes, your hair, your skin, right? Hearing, balance and stuff like that, right? Stress and poor eating can reduce melanin concentration in hair follicles and trigger gray hair. There's melanin in the brain, right? Pigment may protect against degenerative conditions of the nervous system, especially since tests show that a significant loss of the pigment occurs in the brain of those with Parkinson's disease, right? Melanocytes are pigment-producing cells as well as immune system cells, right? Melanin determines vitamin D synthesis in your skin, right? So basically, said melanin is very important, and the darker you are, the more melanin you have. So it sounds like the more increases your chance of survival, the more melanin you have also against those particular diseases that they talked about. So basically, melanin people have darker skin. The darker the skin, the more melanin. The more melanin, the more protection melanin provides, right? From BibleStudyTools.com, the words Semite, Semitic do not occur in the Bible, but are derived from the name of Noah's oldest son, Shem, Genesis 5:32. What that means is that the people of the Bible never called themselves Semitic. That's what that means. Formerly, the designation was limited to those who are mentioned in Genesis 10:11 as Shem's descendants. Okay? So, Semites. Genesis 10:21-22. The sons are born to Shem, the older brother, Japhet. Shem is the forefather of the sons of Eber. The sons of Shem, Elam, Asher, Arphaxad, Lud, and Aram. The sons of Aram, Uz, Hul, Gether, and somebody, Masher, somebody. I don't know what his name is. He just got M-E-S-H, right? So Semite is not mentioned in the Bible, but is a 19th century on reference to the descendants of the Noah's son Shem. The scripture does not support the idea that the descendants of Shem of biblical Hebrew Israelites refer to themselves as Semite. It appears that some people use the designation Semite today. It's not in the Bible. The word is not even in the scriptures. What about Judaism? ReligiousFacts.com. No, Judaism is not mentioned by name in the Bible. The word Judaism is derived from the tribe Judah, which was one of the 12 tribes of Israel. The Bible was written before the establishment of Judaism as a religion. The Bible was written before the establishment of Judaism as a business, as a religion, and therefore the word does not appear in the scripture. All right, so that means that the people of the Hebrew Israelites never practiced Judaism. They never, if you mentioned Judaism to, if you went back in time and you called them Jews and Judaism, they wouldn't know what the hell you was talking about. And particularly because there's no J in Hebrew. So the Torah does not call the Israelites a religion, right? This is from JewishWorld.com, right? SDJewishWorld.com says that the Torah does not call the Israelites a religion. In fact, the Bible contains no word for religion. The Bible contains no word for religion. All right, Israel is a nation obligated to do what God commands. There is no procedure mentioned in the scripture for joining the Israelites. It's only the commandments of God, the creator, right? So you got to get this through your head, because some people is adding to the scriptures. And it's been like a standard. So there is also the fact that there's no J sound in Hebrew, as I said. And they were following the commandments of the Creator, and thus said the Lord, not a Jewish tradition. That came about through some other cats, right? Some time later, right? There appears to be much to be learned, discovered, and revealed, some of which appears to be right in front of us. I say there is a reason to research this biblical story. Semite and Judaism isn't mentioned in the scriptures. Then there is this thing about the Hebrews being black and being taken by ships to a land not known to their forefathers, and folks and videos, engagements and gatherings saying that the Hebrew Israelites were slave during the North American slave trade. Ronald R. Dalton Jr. has DNA and historical evidence supporting that the Hebrew Israelites were black. I can see why Kyrie Irving would be interested in the movie From Hebrews to All Negroes, and retweet the link for others to access the movie. There's nothing wrong with searching for the truth. What I don't see is Kyrie Irving's crime in the so-called free world. I don't understand why a man whose net worth is allegedly $90 million, I looked that up, who has to compromise his integrity by buoying up to those very abusive bullies. Why don't they just spank him on national television and make him write, "I must not insult the Jews 1,000 times"? Maybe Kyrie has a greater plan. Maybe he just loves playing basketball that much. Maybe he loves money that much. Maybe he simply wants to end the harassment. Maybe it's all of the above. Truth be told, Kyrie Irving's accusers appear to have managed to promote interest in the movie From Hebrews to Negroes better than Amazon, the number one seller. I guess this is more anti-Semitic rhetoric. www.blackhistoryinthebible.com says Hebrews had dark skin, evidence from the Old and New Testament, right? This is what Kyrie Irving is fire about, and other people. They finding themselves in the Bible because, you know, we grew up with these images of white Jesus, blue eye, blonde hair, white Jesus. Who played Jesus on the cross? The last one. That was a terrible movie they made, The Passion of Christ. One of the worst beatings I've ever seen somebody taken in the movies or in real life. And I've seen some people get hacked up in real life. But that looked kind of bad right there, what happened to that guy. And I was in the movie. It was just terrible to think that somebody would do that to a human being. And anyway, it was a white dude. I forget his name. But it's an excellent movie. And but we always see all these white images of all Mary, Joseph, even the Egyptians. Sometimes you see at least the ones in the head of it were white-skinned people a lot of times. So you might see the dude carrying something, he'd be a black dude. So anyway, we just got this whole thing about being whitewashed with the book, with the Bible. That's a whole different show right there in it. I don't even think I got enough time to address nothing about the Bible. I guess I get bombed off the block if I start talking about some of the things that I read about that. You know, but I think it's a good book. If you follow it for spiritual growth, you should be all right. If you're looking for something else, I guess if you look hard enough, you can find things you want in anything. So I don't know. Anyway, he said the Hebrews had dark skin. So many references that Hebrews having dark skin, right? None of them having, no references of them having white skin in the scripture. Why are they mistaken for Egyptians from the time of Joseph up to the Apostle Paul being preaching? They still, he was all Egyptian. So they debate as to whether or not the original Hebrew had dark skin can be settled using scripture and history. So if you just use the Bible for that debate, then that goes back to the question, who are the Jews in Israel? So they're just, if Kyrie is not on him, I don't think he's a dummy. And he's thinking. His head is not on a swivel. He's on tight, and he's thinking. This guy say the Bible, there are things in the Bible that give an indication of what the Hebrew looked like. So, disclaimer, read the entire chapter of the context. There are other sources out there that grasp with straws in an attempt to explain away the reference to the Hebrew being dark-skinned. So, if I say Job 30:30, you got to go read the whole thing, right? That's what he's saying, right? So dark skin references. My skin is black upon me, and my bones are burnt with heat. Job 30:30, right? While the text makes it clear that Job's skin is black, many point out that the Hebrews mourned and repented by covering themselves with ashes, right? Okay, just going to keep going. My skin is black, but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon, look not upon me because I am black, because the sun has looked upon me. My brother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyard, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. Song of Solomon 1:5-6. Excuse me. Here we have Solomon's lover telling us twice that she is black. Compare her own skin to the tents of Kedar and the curtains of Solomon, right? This is a literally telling of her skin color. Direct reference to black skin. One in the New Testament that implies dark skin, right? That's in the Old Testament. And there's at least one in the New Testament that implies, they said it implies dark skin. Their visage is blacker than the coal. They are not known in the streets. Their skin cleaves to their bone. It is withered. It is become like a stick. Lamentations 4:8, right? Their appearance was blacker than coal, right? We know coal is black, right? The Hebrew word black is chashit from Strong's number 2821, which means to be or grow dark. We take this verse in context along with the Lamentations 4:7. We can see that Jeremiah was telling us that the Hebrews were a dark-skinned nation, he says. Right? Our skin is black like the oven because of the terrible famine. Lamentations 5:10, right? Just a bunch of stuff in here, right? I don't have a lot of time. I'm about to run out of time. 6 more minutes. So just things like that in the Bible and say that, right? All these references, they say you can go through the Bible and you can check these references out yourself, as I got them from www.blackhistoryinthebible.com, right? Hebrews had dark skin, evidence from the Old and New Testament, right? So, I heard somebody say something is true. If you want to keep something from people, all you got to do is put it in a book. That's a lie. We got a whole lot of books we do read. Everybody's not ignorant. And I used to be one of those guys that didn't want to read. Matter of fact, then I turned into one of those guys who stole books. So, you know. And I'm not talking about comic books. I don't read comic books. But you give me a good book, you're probably not getting it back. So it says, summary of evidence, the Hebrews before the Exodus were all born and raised in Africa. The Hebrews were referred to as black several times in the scriptures. Hebrews were mistaken for Egyptians. Egyptians depicted themselves as dark-skinned people. Hebrews intermixed with Africans. Joseph, Jesus, and Mary were sent to hide amongst the Egyptians until the death of Herod. It would not make any sense to hide a white or light-skinned child among people that depicted themselves as dark. A man from Cyrene or Libya was the one chosen to bear the cross of Jesus. Cyrene or Libya is located in Africa. Following the resurrection of Christ, at least one of the apostles referred to as black-skinned, and another was from Cyrene, Libya. So it's a lot of black stuff going on in the Bible. I see why people are starting to think about the images they've been traditionally brought up under and starting to think what they might say out of the box. But hey, you know, use your brain. The Khazars are a Turkish tribe who had established a kingdom in the Caucasus region and converted to Judaism in the 8th century AD, must have seen the doings of the Romans and the Greeks and seen it as an opportunity for them to take over the Hebrew identity and thus control the Orthodox branch of the Hebrew religion. That's what this guy is saying. Who is this? This is the same thing. This is from Edgestone. How did Jesus and the Hebrews become white? They're basically saying that their identity was usurped after the dispersion, right? The world's most popular recognized images of Christ is distinctively a 19th, 20th century American creation. White Christ appeared in European art as early as the 4th century of the Christian era, but these images coexist with other non-white representations throughout the European history. The popularity of the cult of Black Madonna and Black Christ throughout Europe is evidence of the fact that European white Christ never acquired the authority and authenticity that the white Christ now has globally, right? By the 19th century, however, in response to American expansion splintering during the Civil War and subsequent Reconstruction, whiteness took on a new significance and a newly empowered white Jesus rose to prominence as the sanctifying symbol of a new national unity of power, as Blum and Harvey observed. By wrapping itself with the alleged form of Jesus, whiteness gave itself a holy faith. With Jesus as white, Americans could feel that sacred whiteness stretched back in the time, thousands of years, and forward in sacred space to heaven and the second coming. The white Jesus promised a white past, a white present, and a future of white glory, he said. All right, so I'm out of time. I just want to thank We Talk Productions, Blog Talk Radio, Mr. Kenneth Jones, all you callers and listeners. Do your own research. I don't have enough time to even cover this subject. We will be on here for the rest of our lives talking about this and researching. So until next week, everyone, each one reach one. Each one teach one. Peace, y'all.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.